Sechtes Nazir, Daf Tesvav, six lines from the top of Daf Tesvav, and Aleph, at the new Mishnah. Now, the Pashat Pshat, the words of the Mishnah, are difficult even after we will understand the Pshat. And as Tesis says previously, Lashin Nazir Mishnah, so we will first speak out the din of the Mishnah based on Tesis as well as the first Pshat of Rush that they bring on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis in order to make it easier to understand the Mishnah. And our Mishnah will teach us that if Reuven is Mekabel two Nazir's periods, and he first states, I will be a Nazir if I have a son, and we will sometimes refer to this as his son's Nazirs, and he then states, I will be a Nazir for 100 days, and we will sometimes refer to this as his Nazirs. So as we learned in the previous Mishnah, Daf Yud Gimel Beis, Reuven will begin his Nazirs for his 100-day Nazirs, but once his wife has a son, he would have to immediately begin his Nazirs, that he was a Mekabel if he has a son, since that was his first Kabbalah. And our Mishnah now teaches us that as long as this son was born on day number 70 or earlier, then since there are still a full 30 days, they can now count for his son's Nazirs, and that same period can overlap and finish either at the end of his 100-day period or prior to the end of his period. So, as Tosfos says on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, Achrei Shenazirus B'nai Shel Shloshim Yoyim Mevloyim Teich Kuf Yoyim, so the same 30 days can be counted for his as well as for his son's Nazirus simultaneously. And therefore, all Reuven would have to count is a total of 100 days as a Nazir, and there are no additional days that are added to his Nazirus based on his Kabbalah's Nazirus for his son. And in this case, Reuven would not be Megaleich or bring Kabbalahs until the end of the 100-day period, and after 100 days, he would cut his hair and bring two sets of kabbonis. However, if he had a son after day 70, and at this point, he has to begin his Nazirus for his son, and this 30-day Nazirus period for his son will last until after day 100, so then we can count both of his Nazirus periods simultaneously and concurrently. And for example, if Reuven started his 100 days of Nazirus for his own Nazirus, and he then had a son on day number 80, so he now has to begin the Nazirus he was Mekabel for having a son, which will last 30 days since a Nazirus. And this term of Nazirus will last until day 110. So this term will actually suspend his 100-day term, and after he completes his son Nazirus, he will then have to keep another 20 days of Nazirus to be matched from his 100-day term of Nazirus. In this case, he will actually keep 130 days of Nazirus. He will keep the first 80 days for his own Nazirus, and he will then suspend that Nazirus and keep 30 days for his Nazirus for his son, and then he'll have to finish up his Nazirus of 100 days, and he'll have to add on another 20 days, which will give us a total of 130 days. And let's keep in mind that even though in the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis it seems that if Reuven was Mekabel to be a Nazir for 30 days, if he had a son, and he was also then Mekabel to be a Nazir Stam for 30 days, and Reuven started his own Nazirus period, and then his son was born, then it would seem that in all cases, once his son was born, it would suspend his own Nazirus, and he wouldn't be able to count both Nazirus concurrently and simultaneously. And it would seem that that Mishnah is against our Mishnah. However, Ayin Taisis on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, where he explains that Ein Chinami, if Reuven began his own Nazirus period, and on day number one, his son was born, and therefore his son's Nazirus begins on day number one, and if they count both terms concurrently, then both his Nazirus periods will end at the same time, the Nazirus shel b'nai muvlo b'shel atzmai, and Ein Chinami, the din would not be, as the Mishnah stated on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, and there would not be a suspension of his Nazirus, and the din would be that his term can be counted simultaneously, and he would only keep 30 days of Nazirus, just like our Mishnah states. However, the Mishnah earlier is only discussing two terms of Nazirus that were each 30 days, and in almost all scenarios, if Reuven has a son on any day after day number one, Reuven would have to keep a total of 60 days, as of course, if he starts keeping his son's Nazirus on day number two, it would end after his own Nazirus, and therefore, you can't count him simultaneously, and you have to suspend his own Nazirus, first do your son's Nazirus, and then after you finish your son's Nazirus, you continue, and you have 29 days of your own Nazirus. And since the possibility of counting your own Nazirus and your son's Nazirus simultaneously and concurrently in the case of the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is only in one specific case where Reuven's son was born on day number one. Therefore, the Mishnah only discusses the more common case where the din would be that you have to suspend your Nazirus and you have to count a total of 60 days. Also, another point to keep in mind that Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Tam that the din of our Mishnah only applies where Reuven first said that I will be a Nazir immediately once I have a son, and then said I am a Kabbal another period of Nazirus for 100 days, as in that case, even if he began his own Nazirus period prior to his son's birth, but once his son is born, he has to immediately begin his term of Nazirus for his son. But if Reuven was Mekabel Nazirus, as in the ratio of the Mishnah Daf Yud Gimel Beis, and he was first Mekabel 100-day Nazirus for himself, and only afterwards did he say, I am Mekabel Nazirus if I have a son, the Tosfos holds that in that case, no matter when his son is born, he first has to finish his own 100-day Nazirus period and cut his hair and bring his kabbonis, and only afterwards would he start his Nazirus period for his son for 30 days and then once again cut his hair and bring his kabbonis. In this case, where he was Mekabel his own Nazirus before he was mekabel his son's nazirus, then he will always have to keep nazirus for a total of 130 days. And the Rosh on the top of Daf Yudalim now brings the shita as well, and he actually says that I agree with the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. However, the Rosh also brings those that argue on Rabbeinu Tam and under point to Taisus, and he holds that even if Reuven's first clause was to be mekabel his own 110 naziris, and only afterwards his second clause was to be mekabel his son's naziris, that the din of Havlah would apply, and as long as his son is born prior to day number 71, he can count the last 30 days for both terms of his naziris concurrently and simultaneously, and he would only count a total of 100 days, but as we said, he ultimately says that's more mistaver like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, Ayin Sham. Now, although we will now learn the Mishnah and learn it according to Shitas Taisus and according to the first Pshat in the Rosh, however, keep in mind that Rosh on Daf Yud Gimel also brings down another way to learn this Mishnah, which is based on the Rambam as well, and we will try to mention that Pshat as well if we have time. The Mishnah begins, Hareini Nazir L'Chsheili Ben, that if Reuven says, I will be a Nazir if I have a son, Vin Nazir Me'ayim, and only afterwards did he say that I will be a Nazir for 100 days, which sounds like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, and not like the Shita that we mentioned that the Rosh brings down. And since Reuven was not sure when his wife would have a baby and when she would have a son, therefore Reuven started his own Nazirus period, even though he accepted upon himself in his second term, and only at a later date did his wife have a son. And the Mishnah teaches us, Noile Ben Ad Shivim, if Reuven's son is born on the 70th day or before the 70th day, and as Taisa says, that even though the Mishnah said, Noile Ben Ad Shivim, it's Ad V'Ad Bechlal, Loi Hivsiklum, then even though Reuven was Mekabel himself two different periods of Naziris, one for 30 days and one for 100 days, and you would think that he had to keep 130 days, actually in this case, he would only have to keep 100 days, and of course the first 70 days would count towards his own Naziris, and then the next 30 days would count both for his own Naziris as well as for his son's Naziris simultaneously, and they would be counted concurrently. And of course, the same would hold true if Reuven actually counted 60 days and then he had a son, so the first 60 days would count towards his own Naziris, then the next 30 days would count both towards his Naziris as well as for his son's Naziris, and then the last 10 days would be the last 10 days of his 100 day period, and once again he would only count a total of 100 days. And of course in this case Reuven would only cut his hair after the full 100 days, and at that point he would bring two sets of kabanais. And the Mishnah continues, La'achas Shivim, however if Reuven actually has his son after day 70, and therefore from that point until the end of his 100 day period he has less than 30 days, for example if the child is born on day 71, then until the end of the Naziris period would be 29 days, and therefore you can't say the din of Avla, and he can't count the remaining days both for his own Naziris as well as for his son's Naziris, and therefore we have to have successive terms, and he first has to count for his son's Naziris, and after he finishes his son's Naziris, which would end on day 101, he would have to then complete his 100 day period by counting another 29 days, and he would then cut his hair and bring two sets of kobanis. And of course the same would apply if Reuven has his child on day number 80, so then he would have the first 80 days for his own Naziris, the next 30 days he would count for his child's Naziris, and he would then be mashlim his 100 day period by continuing for another 20 days and then have a total of 130 days of Naziris, and then cut his hair and bring his kabanis. And although this is the din of the Mishnah uses the term Seisa, which in a different context we already saw. If Reuven becomes tummy while he's in Nazir, then he will forfeit the previous days they counted towards the Naziris, and as the Pasuk says, Vayom Rishayim Yiplu. However, in our context, the word Seisa does not mean that you will forfeit the days of Naziris, as over here he's not forfeiting any days of Naziris, and just means that he'll suspend his own Naziris and he'll count his son's Naziris, and only afterwards will he continue and count the rest of the days of his Naziris, that he still has to be mashlim towards his 100 days of his own Naziris. And Taisus on Daf Yud Gimel Beis states in Dira Masel Seisa, V'loi Gassin Seisa Shivim Yoyim, you're not going to be gurus that he forfeits the 70 days that he already counted, D'Aini Seisa Ayin, because of course there is no possibility that he'll actually forfeit any of those 70 days. V'Hachi Prushai, and the Pshat in the Lashon Seisa that the Mishnah uses is Meniach Eshloi, that he stops counting his own and he suspends his own Naziris, U'Moyne Eshel B'nai, and then he counts the Naziris of his son, and then he goes back to his own Naziris and finishes up his Naziris. V'Lav Davka Seisa, claiming Meniach Eshel B'nai, U'Moyne Eshel B'nai, as we explained. And Lefi Taisus it comes out that the Lashon Seisa is actually Lav Davka, however the Rush that's brought down the Shita Mikubetzes actually explains that the word Seisa over here means that he will actually forfeit certain days, but it doesn't mean that he will forfeit the days they count in the past. It means that Reuven will forfeit the days that he will count in the future, and although if he would have had the child on day 70 earlier, then the din would be that he would have been able to count the same 30 days for the Naziris of his son and for his own Naziris, and he would have only had to count 100 days. However, now that he actually had a child on day 71 or further, then the din is that he can't count the same days for his own Naziris and for his son's Naziris. years, and therefore he actually has to add on an additional 30 days, and that's the Lashon of Seisa, that he forfeits his ability to count the same days of his Naziris as simultaneous and concurrent days that would count both for his own Naziris and for his son's Naziris, I in the rush that's brought in the Shittim and Kubetzes. And the Mishnah continues, She'ain Teglachas Pachas B'Lamid Yayim, Gidol Sa, that's Roy for Teglachas, is not less than 30 days. And once again, Taisus on Daf Yugim Obeis explains that this Lashon of She'ain Teglachas Pachas B'Shloish Miyayim is not really a proper Lashon, and it's not really explaining the actual reason that he had to suspend his Naziris. And Taisus Nidu Masl, She'ain Teglachas Pachas B'Shloish Miyayim states, Perish Lakachi in Eilin Shai Yom Shad Kuf Yom Naziris Tibnoi, the reason why, if you have less than 30 days left to your 100-day period of Naziris, that it can't count towards your son's Naziris as well as to your own Naziris, is because Lafisha in Naziris to Benoit, Pachas B'Shloish Yom, because Stam Naziris is not less than 30 days, and is less than 30 days until the end of your 100-day period, and therefore they can't run concurrently. And therefore you're forced to suspend your own Naziris, hold the Nimshach Naziris to Benoit, Al Yimei Nazirusai. Since if we don't suspend your Naziris, the Naziris of your son will actually last for longer period than your own Naziris, and that won't work. And really the Lashon of Teglachas that the Mishnah uses is not really perfect. The Tvei have little Meimah, because the Mishnah really should have stated, since the Naziris for your son can't be less than 30 days. Hazel continues that the reason why the Mishnah used the Lashon of Teglachas is to teach us that once you complete the Naziris period for your son, and you complete a 30-day period, then he wouldn't cut his hair, and he wouldn't bring his kabbanis at that point, but he would go back to his original 100-day count, and you complete your Naziris of 100 days. And for example, he would keep his Naziris for another 20 days, and only at that point would Reuven cut his hair and bring his two sets of kabbanis. And the Taisus points out, as at that point, you won't be able to cut your hair once again after you finish your own Naziris, as at that point, potentially you only counted 20 days, and you didn't count a full 30 days. And as we know, and before we begin the Gemara, let's just remember that Taisus on Daf Vava Ben Aleph stated that really when someone is mekabel on himself a Naziris of 100 days, he really should be able to cut their hair and bring the Kabbanis on day 100, because we would say Mixyan Kekuloi. However, there was a Gzera Drabbanan that they said that if you accept upon yourself a Naziris of 100 days, you can't cut your hair and you can't bring Kabbanis until day 101. And the Rabbanan made this Gzera because if there would be a case where Reuben says, I want to be a Nazir for 100 Shleimim, 100 complete days, then the din is Midiraisa that he can't cut his hair and he can't bring his Kabbanis until day 101. And the Rabbanan said that even where you didn't say Shleimim, you still can't bring your Kabbanis and you can't cut your hair until day 101. And the same would apply to Naziris of Shleishim Yoyim. And our Gemara now begins, Rav states, Yoyim Shivim Oilu Lukan Lukan. Reuben began his Naziris period and he counted 70 days. And on day 70, he had a son. So Rav teaches us that we count day 70 as if it's 2 days. So number one, of course, it's day 70 for his own Naziris period. And number two, it's also for the first day of his 30-day Naziris period for his son. And since we count it as day number one for his son's Naziris period, therefore we also count it as day number 71 for his own Naziris period. And Lefi Rav, since day number 70 is the first day for his son's Naziris period, so we count 30 days from that point, which will end on day number 99. And on day 100, Reuven could cut his hair and bring his kabbanis for his son's Naziris. And just like at that point, he could cut his hair and bring his kabbanis for his son's Naziris, therefore we look at day number 70 as day number 71 for his own Naziris as well. And therefore, we have to look at day number 9 as if it's day 100 for his own Naziris, and therefore, he could cut his hair and bring his set of kabbanis for his own Naziris on day 100, which would be like day 101. And Taisus bothered that L'chaira doesn't make any sense, because since if he would be mekabel his own Naziris, he would have to keep 100 full days, and only on day 101 would he be able to cut his own hair and then bring his own kabbanis. So L'chaira, what changed over here? And therefore, Taisus explains that since we said that it is only Gzeir Drabbanan, you have to bring your kabbanis and cut your hair on day 101, and V'hacha Ukmeya Din Torah, over here in our case, we kept it on the Din Torah, Kishenod Le'ben, when he had a son, Sheyuchel Agaleich B'yei Meah, that he would be able to cut his hair, even for his own Naziris, on day 100, Kiven the Naziris to B'nai Kahavi Yei Malam Alv, since for the Naziris of his son, it's definitely the 31st day, because he started counting from day 70 as day number 1, and V'yachel Agaleich Naziris B'nai B'yei Kuf, and you cut your hair for the Naziris of your son on the 100th day, Hilkel Kam Naziris Nafshei, even for your own Naziris, Oil Lataglacha Shalyon Kuf, your haircut that you take on day 100 would also help for your own taglachas, and you could bring two sets of kabbanis on day 100. And the Rosh also says a similar idea to Taisus, and Rav gives us this kulo over here, since in any case, the only reason why you have to wait till day 101 is only a din rabbanon, therefore we'll make all where he had two nazirus periods. Even so, the rush ends off, tamar that l'cheret shver, she yom echad be'emso, that there could be one day in the middle of a nazirus count, that's oil l'shnaim, that could be counted as day 70, as well as day 71, ayin sham. The Gemara will now ask a series of questions on Rav, and ultimately the Gemara will come out that our Mishnah doesn't work out if he sheetes Rav. And the Gemara starts, now we learned in our Mishnah, that if while counting his own 100 Nazirus day period, Reuven has a son either on day 70 or earlier than that, then Reuven doesn't lose out anything as he's able to count the full Teglachas period and he's able to count them simultaneously and concurrently. The Gemara asks on Rav, if you're going to tell me that day 70 or any day prior to day 70 counts for the first day of his son's Nazirus as well as the 71st day of his own Nazirus, why does the Mishnah say that Reuven doesn't lose out anything? Iskuri Miskar, he actually gains something because at this point he doesn't have to cut his hair and bring his karbanos on day 101. He actually could cut his hair and bring his karbanos a day earlier, and he could do so on day 100. And the Gemara responds that really our Mishnah could be going like Rav El Bedin the Loi listening at Shivim, and really the Mishnah it shouldn't have said that until day 70 it's Loi Hifsiklum that he doesn't lose out anything. Mishum the Tani Sefer, but since in the Sefer it says Ach Shivim Seisa that after day number 70 that if he has a son then that actually would cause him a loss and he would now have to count 130 days, so Tani Reisha Shivim, and that's why we said in the Reisha the Lashon Lo Hifsid in order to contrast the Sefer to the Reisha, that although in the Sefer you will actually lose out, in the Reisha you won't lose out, and of course not only won't you lose out, you will actually gain. And the Gemara continues and asks another question on Rav Tashma Mi Sefer, let's bring a riot from the Sefer of our Mishnah, Noel Acha Shivim, that if Reuven had a son while he was counting his 100 day period, and this child was born after the 70th day, meaning on day 71, Soisa, that does cause him a loss, and he would actually keep 130 days, of the Chari Lefi Rav, this is not true, as even if he would actually have a son on day 71, he would actually still be able to keep the Nazirus of his son for 30 days. If you count from day 71 until day 100, then you have a perfect 30 days. Therefore, even if Reuven would have a son on day 71, he actually could still count his own Nazirus as well as the Nazirus for his son simultaneously and concurrently, and it would still work out perfectly. And therefore, the Mishnah shouldn't say that after 70 days that this would be a din. It really should say that after the 71st day, and if he has a child on day 72, then the din would be that he has to keep 130 days, and he can't run both of these periods concurrently and simultaneously. And the Gemara answers that really our Mishnah could be going like Rav, and my Acha, when the Mishnah used the term of Acha Shivim, that it was after the 70th day, it didn't mean day 71. It meant Achar Acha, meant the day after 70, meaning day 72. And Zokra B'Kvegin, the Dudun HaShas, Ayin Benida, Daf Yudalar Mbez, where the Gemara says a similar idea, and Ein Echanami, Lefi Rav, if Reuven had a son on day 71 or earlier than day 71, then he would only keep a 100 day period of Nazirus, and that would include both his Nazirus as well as his son's Nazirus. However, if he has a son on day 72, then he would have to take a break and suspend his original Nazirus for his own Nazirus on day 72. He would count 30 days for his son's Nazirus, and only after he finishes his son's Nazirus, then he would count an additional 28 days to make up for his 100 day period for his Nazirus, and ultimately Reuven will count a total of 130 days. And the Gemara is still not satisfied because Aval Acha Mamish Mai, according to Rav, what would be on day 71, which was the day after day 70, Hachinami Dloy Sasa, will you say that it will not suspend his Nazirus and he will only count 100 days? Yehachi Mai Iri Detani Noilat Shivim. Why is it then the Reisha the Mishnah? The Mishnah stated that if Reuven has a son on day 70, then he was Loyhif Seklum, Afilu Acha Shloshim Nami, Lamaisa, even if you have a child on day 71, Amrit Loy Sasa, according to Rav, it should not suspend his Nazirus and he would only keep 100 days, and therefore l'chira, it's still shver from the ratio el shma mino acha mamish. Therefore, we see when the Mishnah said the lashon acha, it meant specifically day 71. And in chenami, if Reuven had a son on day 70 or earlier, then the din would be he only counts 100 days. And if he has a child on day 71 or after day 71, then he would count a total of 130 days. And it's muach not like Rav v'chein masis l'Rav shma mino. And over here, certainly, this is definitely a case where we see lashon nazir mishuna, because over here it doesn't mean that the Mishnah is actually like Rav, but the Mishnah is actually raya against the shita of Rav, and the Mishnah cannot be going like Rav. And the Gemara continues that although our Mishnah is certainly not like Rav, as you just point, and even though that Rav tanu upolag, and therefore certainly Rav could go against the Mishnah, however, we have a general klal that we still try to fit Rav in according to a tana, and therefore the Rav command on the Gemara now is who is Rav going like, and which tana agrees to this chiddush of Rav that one day can be counted as if it's 2 days, and we say mixiyam kakulai at the beginning of that day, and then the end of the day could be counted as the second day. The Gemara continues, Ilay Mekab Abishol, if you can see Rav is going like the Shita of the Tana Abishol, the Tana, as we learned in the Mishnah in Mayakotan and after your Testament Bays, Binigay Avelis, Hakavis Mesa, Shleshim Kinum Regal, if someone buries someone that's one of his Kravim, and he has a Chiv to sit Shiva and to have Shleshim, and prior to Yontiv, he already sat for 3 days, which are the most Chomad Dikadinim of Avelis, and Batli Miron Xer Shiva, and Yontiv comes and is Mavato the Din of Shiva, and he doesn't have to sit Shiva, not on Yontiv, even Doran Shiva Sinna, and he doesn't have to sit Shiva even after Yontiv. And this din applies to Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And nowadays, we actually apply this din not only to 3 days, but even if he just started 1 day of Shiva, then it would be Mvatal Shiva. Now, Locha doesn't follow this Mishnah, and we go like a different man to Amah. But in any case, the Mishnah stated that it's Mvatal Shiva. And the Mishnah continued, Shmoni Yom Kanel Regal, if Reuven sat Shiva for 7 days, and then he already had an 8th day, which is the first day of Shleshim, Batlum and Xer Shleshim, then it's Mvatal, the Didim of Shleshim as well, or Mutl Sapa Erev Regal, and it would be permissible for Reuven to take a haircut on Erev Yontiv in order to show Kav for Yontiv, then Laisipa Erev Regal, and if he doesn't take a haircut on Erev Regal, Asil Sapa Achar Regal, and since he didn't show Kav for Yontiv, so therefore we're not Mavatal Shloshim, and he can't take a haircut even after Yontiv. And we continue on Daf Tesvav and Beis, and Abishol at this point will argue in Tanakama on 2 points. Abishol Oime, Abishol states, Afil Laisipa Kaidim Regal, even if he doesn't cut his hair prior to Yontiv, Mutl Sapa Achar Regal, he does not make a Xera, and he does not make a Knas, and he still says you would still be able to cut your hair after Yontiv. Now Bishol continues and argues on another din of Tana Kama that Kashem Shemitzah Shleishim Mevatelus Gzeira Shiva, that just like if Reuven sat for 3 days of Avelas, then if Yontiv comes as Mevato the rest of Shiva, Kach Mitzah Shiva Mevatelus Gzeira Shlamid, therefore if someone sat Shiva for 7 days, then Yontiv comes, it would also Mevato Shleishim, and even though Yontiv started before the 8th day of his Avelas period, and it must be that Abishol holds that the 7th day of a person's Shiva not only is the end of his Shiva period, and we say Mixiyam Kekulai, and Shiva would be over in the morning, but that day, at the end of the day, would also count as the 1st day of Shleshim, and would be considered the 8th day, and that's why Abishol holds that once it's the 7th day of his Avelos period, then the din is that Mevatel Shleshim, and therefore we see that Abishol holds like Rav, that there could be 1 day that counts as 2 days, as the 7th day is counted as day number 7, and it's the last day of Shiva, and number 2 is counted as day number 8, and it's the 1st day of Shleshim, and as the Gemara says, my time to Abishol, what's the reason for Abishol? Isn't it because he holds exactly like Rav that Shvi Oilul Kalan Khan, that the 7th day is counted for Shiva as well as for Shleshim and is counted as day 7 as well as day 8? The Gemara responds that it's not necessarily true that Rav could hold like Abishol because Dilma Ad Kan Lakam Abishol El Bavil Zayin Rabbanon, that maybe Abishol only said that he could take 1 day and count it both for Shiva and for the start of Shleshim only because the whole din of being an Oval for 7 days and sitting Shiva is only a din Rabbanon, and although according to most Rishonim only Aninus is the Raisa, but any dinner of Avelis after a body is buried is already considered a din Rabbanon. However, Taisa over here says, the Minatayra ain't an Oval, Eliyam Rishon, that mid Raisa, you actually are an Oval for the 1st day, at least the day that the person died and was buried. However, the rest of the days of Avelis, both Shiva and Shleshim, are only Rabbanon, and therefore we say that Yom Shvi could be Oil Lukan Lukan, and we make all Avu Ben Nazir de Raisa Loi, but Minagay Nazirus, where the din to be a Nazir for 30 days is a din de Raisa, based on the Pasuk of Yia, or based on the number of times it says Lashon Nazir in the Torah, and quite possibly Abishol would not agree to Rav in a case by Nazirus, which is Duraisa, that would be able to take 1 day and count it Lakan Lakan, and he wouldn't necessarily agree that Yom Shivim could be counted as day 70 as well as day 71. Even though we mentioned Akdama, that the Din of Al Gemara is only talking about a real Din Rabbanon, but again Nazirus, because it's only talking about the Gzeira Rabbanon, that you should only cut your hair and bring Kabbanis on day 101, which as we stated was only Din Rabbanon. But the Ikka Naziris is a Din Duraisa, and therefore potentially in the case where the Ikka Din is Duraisa, then Abishol would not say that we're Oil Lukan Lukan, and potentially argues on Rav, and therefore we haven't yet found a Tana that goes like Rav. And the Gemara continues, Al Rav Da'amak Rabbeisi, Rav holds like the Shit Rabbeisi, the Tanya as we learned in the Braisa, is relevant to the Chi of bringing a Karim Pesach. Rabbeisi Aimer, Rabbeisi states, Shemer Serim Keneg Yayim, if you have a woman who saw Dam Ziva, which means she saw Dam at an abnormal time, which is after the 7 days of your main and during the Yiraf Yayim, Shabbi Nidus Linidus, the din is that if she saw a dam for one time, then she Shemer Sam Kenegi Yayim. For example, if she saw a dam on a Monday, then she is Tomei, and on Tuesday, she could go to the mikvah in the morning or at any time during the day, and as long as she doesn't see a dam on Tuesday, then she becomes Tar at night by Her of Shemesh. If you Dal Nisan, the time that you bring your Karim Pesach was on Monday, and therefore this woman really can't eat any kachim on Monday, but that evening she'll be able to eat Karim Pesach because potentially she will be Tar. In the meantime, someone could could bring her carbon for her and could bring the carbon pesach for her on Monday, and she'll be able to join the chabura on Monday night and eat from the carbon pesach. Raisa teaches us sheshach v'zarka lera b'sheni shela, that if someone goes and brings her carbon pesach for her and they do zrika properly for her, and it's on the second day, meaning on the day that she already went to the mikvah, and at this point, as long as she doesn't see down for the rest of the day, and Harav Shemesh comes, she will be able to eat from the carbon pesach. And then prior to Harav Shemesh, v'achin rasa, and she saw her dam once again, and this will be her second day that she saw dam as a zava, harezu ein achelas, then she cannot eat from the carbon pesach because she's tamei upturim alas pesach sheni. But even though she's tamei, she can't eat from the carbon pesach. But since l'maisa they brought a carbon pesach for her, therefore she will be potter for bringing a carbon pesach on pesach sheni. And the Gemara now explains that it must be the Rabbi Yosi holds like Rav, and my time in Rabbi Yosi, because what must be pshat in Rabbi Yosi that he says that even though that she's tamei she can't eat the carbon pesach, however it's considered that she brought the carbon pesach properly, and therefore she doesn't have to bring a pesach sheni. Lab mishum, it must be the kasava, because Rabbi Yosi holds mixed yom kekulei, that first of all, the first part of the day that she actually didn't see dam yet and she went to the mikvah, that causes her to be tar at that moment, and we consider that the carbon pesach was bought for her properly, and therefore she doesn't have to bring a pesach sheni. And even though the first part of the day she's considered tar, umikano labo umetame, but then once she becomes tamei and she sees dam once again prior to Harav Shemesh, then from that point onward she's considered tamei, and therefore she can't eat from the carbon pesach. And therefore we see that Rabbi Yosi splits up the day in two: the first part of the day she's tar, and the second part of the day she's tamei. And l'chayra Rav is going like this shita Rabbi Yosi, that we see that we can split a day in half and into two different pralokim, and therefore b'negei yom shivim he could also say that's oil lukan lukan. And we didn't mention the words of mimai udil mishum de kasava, because the Rosh as well as Tesis as well as the Gra on the side of Gemara all take out these words, and the Gemara continues umisav Rabbi Yosi achi, how can you tell me that Rabbi Yosi holds that yom echad is oil lukan lukan, but v'tani we have another brisa where Rabbi Yosi says Rabbi Yosi ima, if you have a zov bal shtei riyos, and we know that by a male that has a discharge, then if he only had one riyah, then he's considered shemer sem keneged yoyim. But if he had two riyahs, even if it's on the same day, then he needs zayin akiyim. And if his seventh day of his zayin akiyim falls on Yudal Nisan, which is the day that you bring the Karam Pesach, and of course, even though on day seven, Reuven cannot eat the Karam Pesach because he's considered tamei until Harav Shemesh, however, if someone brings a Karam Pesach for him and includes him in his Karam Pesach, then on that night, he will be able to eat from the Karam Pesach because at that moment, he will be tar. And Rabbi Yosi teaches us over there, that if someone goes in his shliach and takes a carbon pesach to the Beis HaMikdash and shechts it and zazuka for him on his seventh day, when he's already going to be tar that evening and he already went to the mikvah on the seventh day, and the same applies to a zava, to a woman that's a zava, that either saw dam for one day or for two consecutive days during the time that's been nidah l'nidah, and during the time that she becomes a zava, and in that case she becomes a zava ktana, and she's a Shemer Yom Kenek Yom, as we saw before, and someone shechs a carbon pesach for her and does rika for her, and now at this point, since she already went to the mikvah, then as long as she doesn't see any more dam during this day, then she'll be tar that evening and she'll be able to eat carbon pesach. However, after someone brought the carbon pesach for the zav or for the zava, the achar kein ro, and then they saw a dam on that day, even though there's a special din by a zav and zava, that if they sit on mattresses, even if they don't touch the mattress itself, that as long as they put pressure on whatever they're sitting or they're lying on, the din is that becomes an avatoma. And since they saw dam prior to the end of the day, therefore, if at any point during the day they sat or they lied on a mattress, then the din will be becomes an avatoma l'mafreya, but p'turim l'as b'pesach sheni, and even so, they're p'turim from bringing a pesach sheni. But one thing that we see for certain is that according to Rabbi Yosi, we don't look at the first part of the day as if this woman is tar or this zav is tar. We don't split up this day in two. And once the zav or zava actually see dam, then we say that's megal to us that they would tummy that a complete day, and therefore anything that they touch would become tamei, and any mishka v'meshiv would be an avatoma, and therefore you can't say that Rav holds like Rabbi Yosi, as clearly Rabbi Yosi doesn't hold that yom echad is oil l'kan l'kan. And the Gemara answers ma'ilu mafreya midrabanan, that really Rabbi Yosi does hold that yom echad is oil l'kan l'kan, and when it says over here that it would be metam mishka v'meshiv l'mafreya, that's only a din drabanan, but ein echanami on drayseitik level, as long as the zava zava went to the mikvah and it's prior to Harav Shemesh and they did not yet see dam, and we do split up the day and we say that that part of the day they would consider tar, and then only after they saw dam we would say from that moment on midiraisa they would be considered tamei, and they would be tamei mishka v'meshav only from that point forward. And even though Rabbi Yosi said shem tamei mishka v'meshav ma'freya, that's only a drabanan, and the Gemara says hachin am mistavra, and I'll bring you right that it must be that there's a shita for Rabbi Yosi the isal kadech midiraisa, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yosi really holds that once they see dam that they're tamei mishka v'meshav even on ma'freya, even on the raisa level, I might Ketuvim Malasa Pesach Sheni, then at no point during this day were they tar, and therefore when someone brought a carbon on their behalf, that carbon should not be a valid carbon because they were tameh at that moment, and therefore how could it be that Rabbi Yossi would say that they don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni, L'chaira, the Zava should still have to bring a carbon on Pesach Sheni. And at this point the Gemara comes out that Rab would be able to go like Rabbi Yossi, because really on a drastic level, Rabbi Yossi really holds that that day is Oilul Kan Al-Kan, and the first part of the day that tar on the drastic level, and only once they see Dam at a later point in the day do they become Tamei. And although the Gemara just explained that Rav could be going like Rabbi Yossi, but the Gemara now goes back and says, really I could tell you that Rabbi Yossi really holds once the Zav and Zava sees Dam, then it's actually Metam and Mishka V'Meshul and Mafreya, even on the drastic level. And really Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree to the Svar of Rav, and he doesn't hold that Yom Echad could be Oilul Kan Al-Kan, and it can't be that one day will be considered Tar in the morning and Tamei in the afternoon. And even though if this is true, that it comes out that when they brought a Karm Pesach for the Zavo Zavo, that person was really Tamei, and therefore how could it be that the Karm Pesach would work? And the Gemara explains, because time is evil material. Just like we find that the Rabbanan stated that if someone brings a Karm Pesach, and then they find out that really they were Tamei because underneath the ground, in a very deep place, there was some Tumah, and therefore at the time that he brought the Karm Pesach, it was impossible for him really to know that he was actually Tamei. So the Rabbanan were makel in this case, and they said that if someone brings a carbon or a Karm Pesach for this person, then that carbon would be valid since it was unknowable at that moment that he really was potentially Tamei. And therefore, in our case as well, Rabbi Yossi holds that since in this case, Zav and Zava already went to the mikveh today, and it's not standard that they should actually see a Riyas Dam during this period of time because it's not a normal time for them to see Dam, and certainly by a man, it's not normal for them to have discharges. And therefore, even though the classic case of Tumas time is talking about a Tumas mace, however, over here, we're going to say that we consider a Tumah of the Zav and Zava as if it's Tumas time, and therefore, as long as someone else brought their Karm Pesach for them, they would be Yotza with their Karm Pesach, and they would not have to bring Karm Pesach on Pesach Sheni. Once again, at this point, the Gemara flips again and says that it's possible that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold a grab and really holds that one day cannot count as two separate days. And over here, really, the Zav and Zava, once they see that they had Dam on this day, then they become Tamei from the beginning of the day, and we don't split up the day. And even so, we consider the Karm Pesach that someone brought for them as a valid Karm Pesach, and they don't have to bring a Karm Pesach on Pesach Sheni. So at this point, we have two different ways to learn Shitas Rabbi Yossi. In one way, we actually see that Rabbi Yossi could hold a grab that Yom Echad would be Oilul Kan Al-Kan, and according to the second way, it comes after Rabbi Yossi would not hold a grab and would not hold that Yom Echad is Oilul Kan Al-Kan. And the Gemara continues, Va'af Rabbi Yishia Savu L'Mafreya Midrabanan. Rabbi Yishia also held that the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi is that it's only Tamei L'Mafreya on a Drabanic level, because Rabbi Yossi also holds a grab that Yom Echad is Oilul Kan Al-Kan, as we explained. And some are not curious over here to Tanya, as there's going to be a machlekes between Rabbi Yishia and Rabbi Echran, who are both Amorayim, and therefore the Gurus, Rabbi Yishia stated, Zav HaRoya B'Shvi Shaloi, that it was a Zav that saw two Riyas, and therefore he had to have Shivan Akim, and on the seventh day he saw Dam, so Saisa Shilfanov, the din is that Saisa all the days of the Shivan Akim, and he would have to start over his full Shivan Akim, and he starts over the process. However, Ba'amalei Rabbi Echran, Rabbi Echran says back to Rabbi Yishia, Lo Nista El Yaymai, you should only be Mevatel only one day, and he only has to count one more day. And the Gemara asks, Manushach, what does Rabbi Echran mean to say? He says, so if by having a Riyas Dam on the seventh day of your Yomei Ziva, it's Saisa your count, and it's not considered that you had Zayin Akiyim, then Kuli Sasa, then L'chari, your new Riyah should be Saisa, and it should forfeit the full 6 days that he did not see Dam, and he should have to restart his count, and he should have to restart his Shivan Akiyim, and he should start 7 new clean days. Ilay Sasa, and if we will say that since he started the seventh day, therefore we say Mixian Kakuloi, and it's considered as if he had a full 7 clean days, so Lenista V'Layomai, then shouldn't even break him up at all, and he shouldn't forfeit any days at all. The Gemara continues and explains Shitas Rabbi Yechran, and it says, according to Rabbi Yechran, we say that Mixiyam Kekuloi, and therefore since he started his seventh day of his Shiva Nakiyam, it's considered he had 7 complete days of Nakiyam, and it's considered Tar, and it's not considered a Zav at all. And even though at a later point of the day, Reuven actually had a discharge, and as Taisa says, that Rehi Kari Rishayna Shel Ziva Acheres, and it's considered like the first time they had a discharge for a new Ziva's period, the Imbal Tumas Erev, and he only would be Tamei until the evening, Vyitbal Erev Yitar, and he would go to the mikveh and become Tar, the Kai Milan, we Rishayna Shel Zav, Kari Ba'almahu, that the first time that a man sees a discharge, then he doesn't become a Zav, and he doesn't have to have Shivan Akim, and he has a din like a Balkari Ba'alma, and he would immediately be able to go to the mikveh and become Tar that evening. And we continue on Daf Tazayinam and Aleph, Omalei, and Rabbi Yishia said back to Rabbi Yechran, Rabbi Yossi Koi Kavosech, even though I don't hold like you, that's because I don't hold like Shitas Rabbi Yossi, but Lamaisa, you Shita is like the Shita Rabbi Yossi, the Omalei Mekanala Ba'omitame, basically agrees that although the beginning of the day is considered part of the seventh day, and therefore it's considered as if you already had Shemen Akiyam, and then the end of the day is considered its own day, and now that Reuven had another discharge at the end of the day, that is considered part of a new Riyah and part of a new Zivas period. Therefore, we see that Rabbi Yishai holds that Lefi Rabbi Yasi, he holds like Rav, Yom Echad is Oil Lekan Lekan. The Gemara asks the same question that we asked before, and the Gemara asks Rabbi Yishai that how can you say Rabbi Yasi holds that Mekan Lekan Mitame, but Rabbi Yasi Lemafreyu Dama? In the Brisa that we had before, Rabbi Yasi said that in the Tam and Mishka Lemesh Lemafreya, that they're going to be Tam and Mishka Lemesh Lemafreya, and we see that Rabbi Yasi doesn't break up the day into two parts. Once the Zavo Zavo have a Riyah, even though it's at the end of the day, we consider that they were Tame the entire day, and the Gemara answers the same Teretz over here before, Mayla Mafreya Midrabanan, the Inchanam, Rabbi Yasi said that when Tam and Mishka Lemesh Lemafreya, it doesn't mean on the Raisidic level, because on the Raisidic level we say that it's considered like two separate days. However, in the Rabbanic level, we said that Mitam and Mishka Ramesha Lemafreya, and that's why their carbon Pesach would be a valid carbon Pesach, because really at the beginning of the day, they were completely tar. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yasi, according to what we just said, that comes out that Rabbi Yasi is teaching us that Rabbi Yasi actually holds that Yom Echad is Oil Lukan Lukan, and we say that Mixayim Kekulai, so the Gemara now is, according to Rabbi Yasi, Mechte Letzi, Sava Mixayim Kekulai, he holds that even a partial day is considered like a complete day, and if so, the Gemara is, Zava Gemur, the Maisi Carbon Hechem Mishkachas Law, we know that L'divrei HaKol, there's a din, if a woman sees three consecutive days of Dam during the Yud Alef Yom, Shebe Nida L'Nida, she becomes a Zava G'dayla, and not only does she need Shiva Nakiyim, but she also has to bring a carbon at the end of that period of time. L'chayr, how are you going to find a case, according to Rabbi Yasi, that a woman could be a Zava G'dayla? Because Kibin Chazir B'Palgad Yoma, L'chayr, if the first time that she saw Dam was on Sunday, and then on Monday morning she did not see Dam, and then only on Monday afternoon did she see her second discharge of Dam, and L'chayr, either Palgad Yoma, the first half of that day, Salkla L'Shima, was already counted for her count, and it was considered that she was Shomer Siyam Keneged Yoyim, and at least at that point, she was considered Tar already, and therefore, it's not considered that she had 3 days in a row, she only had 1 day, then she had a break, and then she had another day, and then she had a break, and then another day, and it'll never be possible that she'll actually have 3 days in a row. And the Gemara answers and brings us two possibilities, Ibai Zeba, either I could tell you, because Shafa Tlasa Tlasa Yoyim Bahad Adadi, that Rachel actually started seeing Dam on Matzah Shabbos, and that flow of Dam continued on Matzah Shabbos, on Sunday, on Monday, and on Tuesday, and therefore she never had a time period when she actually wasn't seeing Dam, and therefore it was impossible to say Mixayim Kekulai. And even though this is not a very normal case that would happen, however, this is the only case where we would have a din of Zava G'dayla by a woman, and Ibai Yisema, and if you want, I can tell you, the Chazit Tlasa Yoyim is Samach Lishkiyah Sakama, Dulei HaVishay is Tisolaklai Lemenyana. Then in this case, what happened was, Rachel started having a flow of Dam at some point on Shabbos afternoon prior to Shkiyah, and that lasted until Matzah Shabbos after Tzeis, and therefore this flow of Dam counts as 2 days, because number one, it's counted as her first day because she saw on Shabbos, and number two, since at this point it's already Matzah Shabbos and there was no time in Shabbos where you could say that it was Mixayim Kekulai, therefore it's also counted as day number two, and then afterwards she saw once again on Sunday afternoon right before Shkia, and that flow of Dam lasted until Sunday evening after Tzeis, so she now also saw on day number three, which is on Sunday night after Tzeis, which is considered Monday, and we never had a time frame where she was able to say that she was tar because of Mixayim Kekulai. This is also an example where we could have a case where a woman could be a Zavag Daila, even according to Rabbi Yasi, Hadron Lacharini Nazar, Hadron Lacharini Nazar, Hadron Lacharini Nazar, and we will stop over here.